Blog Talk Radio.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give in the matter now pending before this court will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Just tell the truth, baby.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You have just entered into the Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hard Truth Smith, bringing you the Haq. Prepare yourselves.
In alhamdulillah, in alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina faman yahdihillahu fala mudilla la ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من صورة مخلقة من زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء وتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وارحم ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما للناس كهديه كتاب الله وخير هادي هادي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور مبتدئها وكل مبتدا بدع وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته يا مسلمين throughout the whole entire world who are listening to our show tonight. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. And we also want to say greetings and peace to all of our non-Muslim listeners. Rather you're here with good intentions or bad intentions, it doesn't matter. We're going to do our thing anyway, inshallah. But we want to say welcome to the show, alhamdulillah. Tonight, well, before we get there, I want to let everybody know that myself and Queen Zahara, we had a blast in Washington, D.C. We had a good time. I'm going to tell you, hold on, let me explain to you. Hold on, before we get too deep into it. Now, Queen Zahara got a little mad at me while I was there because we got a hotel room.
Hold on.
I want to explain something to you. This is for the men. And sisters, you have to, before we get down into it, I want to let the sisters know something about men in hotel rooms. Now, me and Ali didn't talk about this. So I'm going to see. Ali might already know. Ali, when a man goes to a hotel room.
I know nothing of the sort. I have a home.
If he goes out of town or maybe he goes on vacation or something.
I stay at relatives' house.
Okay, anyway. This is what I got to go through, people. Help me, Ali.
You ain't going to leave me.
It's nothing bad. So my wife, she wanted to go sightseeing. And my intention was to go, but let me tell you something. I mean, alhamdulillah, she went, but she went with some other sisters that, you know, that she had some friends up there, alhamdulillah. I got in that hotel room, and I literally passed out. I didn't move. I got in that bed, and it was like, no work. What? I can just lay here and rest?
I gotta get it in.
Oh, man, I got it. Listen, I called her later on that night.
Later on that night.
Well, not that late, but I said, babe, did you eat yet? She said, no. I said, y'all want to go to eat? She said, yeah. So we went to Red Lobster, right?
Another story.
Listen, so I ordered this. I'm sorry, I got to tell you guys this before we start the show. So I ordered this lettuce shrimp wrap in Washington, D.C. I've never seen it nowhere except Washington, D.C. So the guy brings me a plate of shrimp out and a head of lettuce. A whole head of lettuce. I'm going to put it on Facebook for everybody to see, inshallah. A whole head of lettuce.
Not chopped up.
And it wasn't even done. It was the the green kind is not that green.
Wow, like maybe he bought you just cabbage. It wasn't even lettuce.
Alhamdulillah, we had a nice time in D.C., mashallah. Okay, so tonight we want to speak about the jinn. And a lot of people really don't know about the jinn. They don't know who the jinn are, what the jinn are made of, what are their capabilities, why were they created, so on and so forth. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to have Sheikh Asadullah, a brother who I trust his knowledge. And I do take from him, alhamdulillah, because, you know, when I first met him, I kind of took him through the ring. He was like, where you get that from? What's your proof? And, you know, alhamdulillah, the brother was able to come with proof for everything we talked about. Alhamdulillah, so may Allah reward him for that, mashallah. And he's going to call in tonight, I believe around 9:10. So, inshallah, we're gonna open the phone lines up for the Sheikh, for the people who have questions or anything like that, inshallah. And with that being said, he's calling right now. So let me, I'm going to call him on here then. Let me call the Sheikh right quick, inshallah. And let's make this quick phone call to the Sheikh. What was that number again? Is it down on the wrong spot? Okay, hold on, Sheikh. I'm calling you. Okay. All right, we're going to call the Sheikh now.
Please leave your message for...
Uh-oh.
Asadullah Khan.
Okay, let's try it again, inshallah. No, he has to come on now. We got him. No, we didn't get him. Let's go again. Let's try it again. And while we get the Sheikh on the line, we're going to take our first break, and that's the hard truth, inshallah.
The Hard Truth is sponsored by Ask a Muslim. If you want to know how to fix your car, ask a mechanic. If you want to know about the law, ask a lawyer. And if you want to know about Islam, ask a Muslim. Bringing the truth about Islam one person at a time. Visit the website at www.askamuslim.com or call in toll free 1-855-968-2756.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everything?
Alhamdulillah. Kifat?
Alhamdulillah. Can you guys hear me? I'm trying out this headset. I don't know if it's working right.
We hear you very clearly, mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. That's good.
How's
everything?
Everything's
going well.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Sheikh.
How's Ali doing?
Are you watching this live? Can you see us?
Yeah, I can actually see you, but it's a bit of a delay, I think, so I'm going to go ahead and probably cut that off.
it's probably going to be a little delay, inshallah.
We
don't have the best equipment just yet.
Check us out. I actually went to go see Dr. Zafour last week.
Right.
It was very beneficial. I actually have to give him a call tomorrow for a follow-up.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So you went to him. How was he? He was good?
Oh, yeah. Barakallahu fikum. He was great.
Alhamdulillah.
Very nice person. As you said.
Alhamdulillah. Right. No, yeah, that's some... Yeah, go ahead, inshallah.
There's nothing you should know about
this. Alhamdulillah. 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 Okay, so, Sheikh, what we'd like to do, we want to talk a little bit about the jinn. And if you can,
right.
we would like to start from the beginning before the creation of man, inshallah. Can you give us a brief history? I think it had to be too brief. We got 2 hours, inshallah. But you'll be surprised how fast that 2 hours will go. So,
right.
Inshallah, if you could give us a brief history on the jinn, inshallah, and before Allah created Adam, alayhi salam.
Okay, I mean, the history for the jinns and the humans, I mean, it's not a very long story to go with. I mean, I know Imam Ghazali in his Bidayah wa Nihaya has mentioned that there was even a creation before the jinn. And he gives some names like Hin and Bin and I don't know what, some other names like that. Khair, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the jinns, and he gave the jinns power over those creations. I forget the name of what Imam Ghazali had mentioned. But then the jinns became basically the ruling, you know, creation in the land. They dominated the earth before insan, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of insan. However, the mention of any creation before jinn isn't really mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creation of insan in the Quran, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there was jinns, and shaitan himself, yani Iblis, who wasn't called shaitan at that time, Iblis, or some say his name was Azra'il, was one of the pious of the jinns, and then there's some narrations that say he was the father of the jinns. It doesn't make a big difference, it doesn't change anything for us. But they say that he was sort of their, you know, the most pious of the jinns, and he would live in the company of the angels. And the jinns, unlike the human beings, their origins are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls in the Quran, marijim min nar, which is basically a smokeless type of fire. But it doesn't mean that they're in the shape of fire or they look like flames or something like that. Just how insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he created us from dirt. But we know we're completely different than the actual dirt. But aslan, our origins come from there. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many times in the Quran.
Sheikh, you said something about the Iblis being pious. So are you saying that the jinn have the ability to believe and disbelieve and do righteous deeds and do evil deeds?
Yeah, I mean, there's even a larger debate between the early ulama with regards to the jinnat, that whether they can even have anbiya amongst them. So, I mean, definitely you have pious and you have unpious jinns. And there's several riwayat that come regarding a jinn coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was there from the time when, you know, Qabil killed Habil, the two sons of Adam, one killed the other. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, said he was out of surprise and that, you know, how terrible. So then that jinn told Rasulullah that no. Later on when Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was giving da'wah to his people, so then I became I accepted Islam. Now this riwayat, I forget where it's mentioned, but it's mentioned in the books of hadith. And then he says that then I was with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says he met Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And from that we can establish that jinnat also have a very long lifespan. But like I said, there's even a debate among scholars that whether there was anbiya amongst the jinns. Like Dhahak and Ibn Hazm rahimahumullah, both of them say that from amongst the jinns they had their own anbiya as well. And their dalil, well, they have several dalils. One is being the hadith in Muslim, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Jabir radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاسَّةً, that every Nabi and Prophet was sent specifically to his nation. So that means that every Nabi that was a human being was specifically sent to his nation. That means that no jinn was going to be following that Nabi. And also in the Quran, there's other, you know, dalail. For example, it says, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَىٰ فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. And the Quran says that there's no ummah, there's no nation that was not sent a warner. So that means that the jinnat and the ins, both of them, they had warners. So on one side, if every Nabi was sent only to his nation, and no nation was void of a Nabi, so that's how they conclude that the jinnat also had their own anbiya. And also there in the other ayats of the Quran, like for example, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ma'shar al-jinni wal-insi alam ya'tikum rusulun minkum that, oh, you know, man and jinn, did not come to you messengers from amongst you. So that would mean that they're from amongst the men and from amongst the jinn. Right? And the other side, ulama have said that, no, there is ijma on the fact that there's no jinn nabi. And I know I read that in Mufti Khalid Saifullah wrote it in one of his, he wrote a 4 volumes called Qamus al-Fiqh. In there he mentioned that ulama have claimed ijma. And then he also mentioned that Imam Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that that's only a da'wah of ijma, because there's no real ijma on that. He says that it seems that the other side has a bit of, you know, good dala'il, like the ayat of the Quran, Ya ma'ashar al-jinni wal-insi alam ya'tikum rusulum minkum, that, oh, mankind and jinn, did not come to you, you know, rusul and messengers from amongst you. So based on that, he says that there's a power. So if there can be anbiya from amongst them, then there's definitely salihin. And on top of that, we also know in the ayat of the Quran, the surah al-jinn, where basically after the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nubuwa, after he was given prophethood, then the jinnat could no longer, you know, steal the information that was coming from this. Before, it was a bit loose, it wasn't a big deal if they overheard some of the information that was being passed down through the heavens, you know. Mm-hmm. But after the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nubuwa, after he was, you know, given the prophethood, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stationed Shihab al-Rasada, it's mentioned in the Quran, shooting stars, you know what we call shooting stars, basically comets, yes, and things like that. And these became sort of a defense against, they would go after the shayateen, and they became sort of a barrier between the shayateen and the, you know, the areas where they used to sit and listen to the, and try to, you know, glean information from the heavens. Because now wahi was to come down through that same route, and it's not possible for any jinn or anyone to interfere in that wahi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked that avenue of theirs. So when this avenue of theirs was blocked, so then they came to Iblis, their grandfather basically, the big boss, you know, and they told him that, you know, we used to go and we used to hear, and now we can't take that information, and we can't hear what's happening in the, you know, in the upper realms. So then Iblis said that something great is happening on earth, go find out. So that's how we know that amongst them were mushrikeen, and amongst them, matter of fact, in the Mufassirun, a lot of the Mufassirin, they explain that from amongst the jinn, there's actually Yahud, there's actually Christians, there's actually mushrikeen, and there's actually Mu'tazila, and you get every type that you find in amongst mankind, like humans, you find that same group from amongst them, jinnat as well. So in that sense, yeah, there.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for you. All right.
Right.
There's two things. I want to back up, but I want to talk about this first. But you talked about the jinns that believe and the jinns that have mushrikeen jinns and so on and so forth. I was watching a video one time on YouTube, and it's called
right.
Interview with a Jinn. And this jinn, it was an ifrit. Now.
Okay.
Now I want to go back to Shaitan, you know, being cast out of heaven and everything. You know, I kind of want to go back to the beginning of that, so we can get a kind of feel of, you know, how he worshipped Allah on every level of heaven, and how he read in the book about his demise and so on and so forth. But before we go there, the different types of jinns. Now, we know that there's there's Iblis, who is, like you said,
right,
who is elite. What is an ifrit?
Ifrit is ifrit just means, there's two things of this. One is ifrit just means a giant. Ifrit literally means a giant. So basically, a good, powerful, strong jinn would be called a ifrit. That's why in the Quran it says ifritum min al jinni, that a giant or a strong from amongst the jinn, like sort of a tough guy from amongst the jinn. Ifrit means someone that's powerful, strong. Ifrit is a strong jinn.
Tough guy.
Yeah, tough guy. Lack of a better word. I mean, my vocab is not so good, though. But, like, it's considered a big jinn. A big jinn would be called the ifrit.
So what would be all the different categories or the different types of jinn?
Well, I mean, like I said, just like in human beings, we have different categories of, in terms of, what do you mean categories, as in what sense? In the sense that Muslims, non-Muslims, or?
No, he was talking about how the jinns that are purely of themselves are called jinni, and then sometimes the categories, the ones that live among mankind are called amar, and the ones that, deal with the children, they're called arwa, and then the shayateen, and then the ifrit. I think he was talking about that. But what I kind of want you to touch on, Sheikh, is it's a good lesson to learn about the jinn. But what I want to kind of like steer towards is the fact of how these entities, which people tend to not really give credence to, are having a huge effect on people's lives.
We want to save that for just a minute.
Okay.
The reason why we want to save that, I want the Sheikh to kind of explain so the people can understand what a jinn is exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The categories that you mentioned, the ones that these are names given based on what sort of amal they take up or what sort of actions they do. Just like amongst human beings, we have our farmers, we have our businessmen, we have our... So these are classes of people. And so just like that, amongst the jinnat, you'll have classes. You'll have clans, you have tribes, you have like that. So in that sense, yes. But if they're in difference as in khilqat, then I can't recall, like in creation, whether there's some certain made out of, something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many other creations other than jinn as well. But when we're talking specifically about jinn, then they're all made from the same thing, which is the smokeless fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of. But then there's different kinds in terms of the jobs they do or the things they do. Like even in the hadith, you find mentions of ghul. Or in English, we call them ghouls, But there's actually a concept of that. These are the jinns that would frighten people in the deserts, for example. So they were called the ghoul. And then there was different kinds of jinns that would do certain, other kind of... So it's just like how in the angels, you have different angels for different tasks, and they're given different names. You get the munkar and nakir, you've got the kiramun katibin, you've got the hafala, you've got the, the hamilin arsh. So these are all different types of angels, but in reality, they're all created from the same thing.
So,
right?
So this word gul is actually an Arabic word?
Yeah, it is. Now, I don't know how much of the English took from the Arabic, but the word in Arabic is actually ghulun.
A whole lot.
So, yeah, in Arabic, they would call it. It would be these beings.
Algebra.
Yeah. So it would be these beings that would appear in the desert, for these people, right?
So check now what I would like to do. We got a time is, and I don't want to go past my breaks. We got to take a quick break, inshallah, and we're going to come back, inshallah. We want to try to discuss some more. It's a story how Sheikh Khan worshiped Allah on every level of heaven to a certain point, and then when he got to the highest level. He read from the book of Qadr, right? And he read something to the fact that one of his slaves would disobey Allah. And Allah asked him, "What should I do with him?" And we're gonna let the Sheikh finish that. We're gonna take a break, inshallah. We'll be right back, and that's the hard truth.
For the best quality of 24 karat gold, visit AA Jewelry Store located at 2210 Morse Road. Columbus, Ohio, 43229, Suite B1. Inshallah, you'll find the most beautiful rings, necklace, and much, much more. Give them a call, 614-269-8874, or email them at globalcohio@hotmail.com. That's globalcohio@hotmail.com.
Taz New and Used Tires, located at 3910 Cleveland Avenue, Columbus, Ohio.
specializes in the best quality services and new and used tires. Taz also mounts and laser balances all tires. Give Taz a call and tell him Muhammad Hartruth Smith sent you.
Okay, Sheikh, can you hear us?
Yes, yes, I can hear you.
Alhamdulillah. So we're going to get into some more of these stuff in a minute, but I really want to hear this story because I think this story helps to open the eyes and doors for people who don't understand the jinn. A lot of people don't know why the jinn are mad at men. They don't know why the shaitan is mad at men. A lot of people think it's just a lot of they're mad.
I think you know, you can go into that story, but I think you also have to take an inspiration. When you think of the jinn, what do people do? We have to look at the demographics that we talk to.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at people, think of ghouls and stuff like that. They don't understand, like, you know, like we were talking about, like they have families and they have, you know, I don't know if they have jobs or whatever they do. They live lives so much longer than us. I forget who it was. Maybe the Sheikh can bring the reference, but I don't know if it was.
Well, I mean, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to the masail of jinn, right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one place, he even mentioned to the Sahaba that do not, for example, do not clean yourselves or do not put any najasat on bones things like that, because the jinns eat off of it. So that means that we have to live with them in the same world, right? So in a sense, it's not a war
like
between us and them.
Hot water.
Yes, exactly.
Like the pour hot water.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Actually, I can't hear you. I didn't hear that.
Like the pouring of hot water. They said to say Bismillah before you pour hot water.
Through the drain.
Yeah, because there might be a skin in the drain.
Yeah.
But they're talking about walking and being
careful. Like you could actually kill one.
Yeah, or you could actually
hurt one.
Step on one.
I mean, matter of fact, when it comes to killing, for example, it's mentioned in Tariq Dimashq. There is a story mentioned when it comes to even killing. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, he mentions that snakes, white snakes, they're usually jinn. So always before killing it, talk to it. Tell it to go away before you do anything. Not to say that they don't come in a black snake form, but they do come in a form of other animals. So sometimes even, you know, you see an animal in just strangely sitting, you know, somewhere in the house where you don't expect it, or you see a strange person, then you don't see him. So these generally are jinns. One time I know there's a story written by Alama Shah Ahlullah. His name was Shah Ahlullah. He was... As a matter of fact, it's a pretty famous story. It's written by Mulana Ashraf Ali Atanvi, rahmahullah. He's written this story also. And actually, Shah Ahlullah, he himself wrote it while writing his tafsir. He said, one night I was sitting, and he was writing the tafsir of the Qur'an. And while he was writing, a snake came, a small snake. So he told the snake to get out of my house, basically. He said to go away. So the snake didn't. So he killed the snake. So he killed the snake. So then after killing the snake, he heard a knock on his door. He went and he opened the door, and there was some guys standing there, some strange-looking people. They were standing there, and they said that the king wants to see you, the Malik. So he said, I was thinking in my mind that the Malikul Ins, you know, like the human king wants to see me.
Yeah.
That time the Mughals were in control of India. So he said, no, they took him to the jungle, and they came upon a door in the ground, and they opened the door, and they told him to get in. So when he got in, he said, then I was exposed to the world of the jinns. He said, when I went down there, then there was an old jinn, and not an old jinn, but he was the judge, and he was ruling on cases between jinns. He says, then when he saw me, he asked the other people that, why did you, you know, why is he here? So the other jinns, they told him that this person has killed so-and-so's son. He says, so then I remember that, oh, yeah, I did kill that snake. So that snake must have been his son. So then the qadi or the judge from amongst the jinns, he decided that I should be killed in qisas, in revenge. But he said that there was an old jinn sitting there with a very long white beard, and he was looking very honorable. And he looked up at me, and he said that, no, I was sitting in the majlis when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that any jinn killed not in his original form, his blood is forgiven. So that, I mean, just based on that story, so there is ahkam and rules when it comes to jinns that we have to abide by. So, and that's also in that story, he said he saw the Sahabi jinn. He was a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And he was a jinn?
So these type of stories came up several times. And he wrote the story down as soon as it happened. They let him go then eventually.
So Sheikh, the jinn, is it permissible for them to reveal themselves to us, or is it haram?
Whether it's not permissible for them to actually show themselves, depends. To scare us and to take over us or to harm the insan, it's not allowed for them. That's haram for them. And if it's just like that, by way somebody sees it or doesn't even know it's a jinn or they come in a different form, then there's nothing wrong with that for them.
Now,
it's based
what about... go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, it's based on harm. Is it harming the person or not? Some people, they know the waza'if and things like that, and they say they can see the jinns. So Allahu alam how correct or true that is. I actually met one or two people that say that they could see jinns. And matter of fact, he was a amil, like a person who deals with jinns. So, and he taught one of my friends, actually. He used to go to him. So my friend asked him that, I want to see a jinn. So he read the, whatever the, words, he read some incantations or whatever, and my friend said that after that day he could see jinns. Like one time he was coming into the school, and the minaret, you know the minaret, he said there was a guy standing by the minaret who was as tall as the minaret. So, and things like that. He says he can just tell where the jinns are and where they aren't, who is a jinn and who's not. So in that sense, it's not just a general prohibition, but to scare, frighten, and take over insan and to harm human beings, this is not jais for them, as it isn't jais for us as well.
Now, we want to tell our listeners, this stuff is real. And it's been downplayed for years that we take it as fables or fairy tales or something of that sort, but this stuff is real. And
No, it's very real, yeah.
And the thing is, I remember... a long time ago, I don't know if I should tell y'all this story, but I'm going to tell y'all anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a long time ago when I first took my Shahada. And
right.
I don't know if it was a jinn messing with me. I don't know exactly what it was. But I might have been Muslim for a month or two. And I was laying in bed, and I was learning about Islam, but I didn't really know too much about it. You know, I just took my Shahada and everything. And the door was closed. Mm-hmm. And there was like a little shadow standing there, like a shadow of a little person or something, right?
Oh, that wasn't boogie.
Just listen, there was no boogie. So it is. It stood about maybe 3 feet.
Yes.
And I never took my eye off of it because
it stood like 3 feet.
I never took my eye off of it because I wanted to call somebody in the room to see this thing, you know. So I kept looking at it.
Right.
I never moved that from it. But what I didn't realize, right, it was standing behind the door. So when I called my cousin in, he opened the door, which closed off where it was standing. And I said, look behind the door. And he pulled the door. Wasn't nothing there. You know, so it was crazy.
You said it was
3 feet?
I don't know,
like 2 or 3 feet.
Was it about March 14th?
It wasn't a leprechaun, brother.
No, exactly.
I was a shout. I'm taking the title growing. Yeah, so
I mean, there's you can see them. Sometimes they appear and they, you know, they appear themselves, and you know, it's not a harmful appearance. For example, you see a shadow or you see an animal or something like that. Like I said, mutlaqan, it's not haram for them to show themselves, but if it's to frighten or something like that, then yeah, they shouldn't.
So Sheikh, I'm going to go ahead and fast forward because Ali, he really wants to get to these other questions about
right.
How does a jinn, how and why does it, that's not what you want to get to?
No.
Did you want to get something else before that?
No, just no.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
I want to speak a little bit about jinn possession. How and why do jinn
about what then?
Possess? Jinn possession.
Okay. Mhm.
How and why do they do it? What do they get out of it? Why do they do it? What allows them to do it?
Right. Sometimes they do it. For example, I think Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he gives actually several reasons why. And usually the reasons will vary from jinn to jinn. Just like human beings, why do we bother or hurt somebody? The reasons will vary. So sometimes they will possess a person simply because they are in love with the person. And that's happened a lot. Or they will possess the person because they are jealous of the person and they want to ruin him in some way. So they'll possess him. They'll make him hear voices in his head. They'll do things to him which will make him go mad, basically. You know, these people you see in an asylum, sometimes it's a result not of natural causes, but because of jinns. Sometimes the person has stepped over their boundary and somehow harmed the jinn. So now the jinn is sort of, you know, doing a revenge sort of thing. Sometimes it's, yeah.
Sheikh, I want to back up. You said a jinn can love you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where you been at?
Matter of fact,
man, listen, why would a jinn? You know what? Hold on. Why would a jinn? I mean, you know what?
Listen. No. All jokes aside, on this, what he's talking about, now that he's opened the door for that topic, there are reports.
But
like,
no, even I'll tell you. For example, I mean, jinns are a whole other creation, right? Even in the fatawa, in the books of where the fatawa are written, you'll find they'll mention whether it's jais to, you know, marry a jinn or not, or it's jais to, you know, have relations with a jinn. So these are all mentioned. These are part of our deen. But
okay.
According to
explain
us...
Explain jais to our listeners, please.
Is what?
Explain the word jais to our listeners, please.
Oh, jais, permissible. Is it permissible or not to marry a jinn, or is it permissible or not to have some kind of relation, you know, love relations with the jinn or not? So this has all been mentioned by the ulama. I know in Fatawa Sirajiyya it mentions, yani, لا تجوز المناكحة بين بني آدم والجن, that nikah, for example, is not jais between insan, human beings, and jinns. And they give many dalail for that. Like in the Quran, it mentions that وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that Allah Ta'ala created your spouses from amongst you, yani from within the insan. Or وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, and one of his signs is that he has created for you from amongst you. So he says مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ means from amongst you. It has to be human being. But some fuqaha, they didn't even see a problem in essence with marrying a jinn, but they said that it would lead to fasad fil ard. Like somebody came to Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he said that so-and-so jinn once is in love with so-and-so lady. So Imam Malik said that I don't see anything wrong with the lady marrying the jinn, but when the lady gets pregnant and somebody asks her where's the father, then she'll be saying it's a jinn, you know? He said, so fasad will spread like this. Any lady that's pregnant, she'll just claim it's a jinn. She'll just claim, oh, it's a jinn, the jinn's the father. So then we'll never, you know, so he said this will spread fasad in the earth.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Our brother Ali, he wanted, go ahead and finish, brother, inshallah. What was you saying about earlier?
No, I was saying one of the major problems is, I think, in the Western society, the brother aside, I know you were born here, but your family's from the subcontinent, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So places like the subcontinent, places like Africa, places like China, places like Indonesia, Malaysia, this is normal occurrences. Like people know about magic, people know about jinns, people know about these things. It's like normal things. But when you start looking at Muslims in the Western Hemisphere, it's not even like people gloss over it like it's just like nothing, like the leftover food on their plate. Because they're this and that and the other. And what happens is, this is a breeding ground for it. That's why I really wanted to talk about this subject, because I have personal experience with jinn. I know people who are actually literally, as I speak right now, are affected by jinn, who have possessed their bodies and do all kinds of crazy things things you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is,
mm-hmm.
like we learned in school, knowledge is power. The people don't know. This is a fairy tale to most people.
It's a fairy tale.
I watched right. this movie, and maybe you have seen it. It was a movie called The Usual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the movie, he said a line that I never, ever, ever forgot. And this was 20 years ago. He said, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making the world believe he didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's going on. We see in our country, in Western society, you have a mental problem, they give you some pills and send you in the room.
They get you doped up. They get you in the gym.
Give me more of those. I want that.
Let me get the prep.
I think a lot of the things is that a lot. What I'm trying to say is this part of Islam, I've experienced it, like literally experienced it from a child growing up. Stuff that I knew that was not a game. Like, this is not normal. Mm-hmm. This is something outside of our tangible reality.
Yes.
But I didn't know
right.
what. So what I'm saying is many, many, many people are like that. We're a tangible world. I can see that camera. I can see you. I can see the phone.
Mm-hmm.
These are things we deal with. Mm-hmm. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at in the Quran, after Surah Al-Baqarah, Then the last ayat, what did he say? Amongst the jinn and men.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us about, first thing he starts talking about is things you can't see. This is the first thing that
right.
you can see. Allah, mm-hmm. you can't see the malaika, you can't see the Rasulullah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling us to prepare us for, you know, the things you can't see are going to be very important in this journey that you're going to take. But the people,
right.
we don't believe. Yo, wallahi, Sheikh Asad will tell you, it took me 3 months to find someone to do hijab. And I looked every day.
But see, up north, they got people doing it all the time.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking about
they don't,
Muslims here.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we can't allow things that, like, we don't know how big this could be. We don't know if
right,
we don't
right.
have people that salute us. We don't know have people who can identify the signs of a possession
mm-hmm.
or the signs of this or the signs of that. How many people could be afflicted?
So
that's like if we were in a country, say we were in France and in Germany they had the plague, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew, well,
right.
once a person starts getting dark circles around the eyes, they get a plague. But they don't know that in France.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break, Sheikh, and we're going to come back and we're
right.
going to open the phone lines for the people. The number is 347-324-3601. If you want to call in and ask the Sheikh a question or make a comment, just press the number 1 on your pad, inshallah, and you can ask the Sheikh a question or make a comment. So we're going to take a quick break. And, Sheikh, I want to, when we get back, one thing I do want to get into is what are the signs that you're possessed. Because I'm telling you, to me, half of America is possessed by jinns. I'm just going to put it out there. A lot of those guys. I say half of America. I'm serious.
When you start seeing the signs and what they are, you're going to be like, man.
Inshallah, we're going to take a quick break. Inshallah.
Uncle Charlie.
Inshallah.
Looking for a quality used car? Look no further than Spectrum Motor One, located at 3238 Westerville Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43231. Not only does Spectrum offer good quality cars, but also a nationwide warranty, 40-point inspection, buy here, pay here, zero interest, as well as halal Islamic financing. Call Spectrum, 814-477-4388 or email them at spectrummotor1@gmail.com. And if you tell them Muhammad Hard Truth Smith sent you, expect a 30% discount, and that's the hard truth.
Furniture Land, Ohio, located at 1395 Morris Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43229. Furniture Land, Ohio offers the most beautiful furniture for a beautiful price. Good and durable. They stand behind their products. Quality, service, and great deals are what they stand for. Call them at 614-447-8505 or email them at FurnitureLandOhio2@ymail.com. And if you tell them Muhammad Hard Truth Smith sent you, you will get 10% off your purchase, inshallah. And that's the hard truth.
Yes.
Okay, and like I said, we want to open up the phone lines. We got callers on the board, and if you want to ask the Sheikh a question, press the number one on your phone pad. Inshallah, we want to keep it based on.
I just want to address the issue he brought up, Brother Adi. He brought a very good point up about how in this country there's the whole concept of jinns doesn't even exist, or it does exist, and people who do think it are considered weird or whatever, you know. But I mean, that doesn't. If you think about it, in this country, there's a lot of people who don't even believe that God exists, and they'll come up with proofs and signs and their own explanation for everything, trying to negate His existence, and that only harms the person who negates it. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, like the ayat you mentioned, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala starts off even before He says "Alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb," even before He says that, He says "Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi." That is a book, there's no doubt in it. Meaning that whatever is coming in this book, there is no doubt in it. You understand? So we believe whatever is in the book. And that will entail us sometimes to believe in what is sometimes visible and sometimes ghaib. Ghaib is harder for people to accept. People who've had run-in with jinns, they tend to believe that there is something out there. Yeah, they know. And people who haven't had a run-in with a jinn, or they've had, for example, just mental issues or whatever it is, then they'll think that, oh, this is just a natural phenomenon, where they don't realize sometimes that, you know, epilepsy and all these other kind of issues can be caused by jinns, effective jinns.
I mean, it's amazing the amount of things. You know, I mean, they have things, and we're talking about blocking you from jobs, from marriages, from being successful, from sicknesses.
Right.
So many things I found. It's like this has to be something that has to be brought to the forefront, and
right.
the Western Muslims
right.
have to understand that this is part of the deen, because the reality, the way I was looking at it, is like you're like okay, I'm gonna use Hitler as a I always use him
example.
Hitler had a great military. You know what his biggest problem was? He fought on too many fronts. He was fighting in Poland, he was fighting in North Africa, he was fighting in over here and over here. He couldn't focus on that, and that's part of what I think is happening to us Western Muslims. We're focused on things like that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, we know one of my favorite ayahs in English translation, it says He will not accept anything on that day, no children, no money, except a qalb salim. And if you a pure heart. If you have people, if you have something else, like for me, my thing was, I knew what I wanted to do, but it always seemed like something in between, like something blocking,
something stopping.
Many
that's what it's important. Right, so it's important to understand that even possession, it happens on two levels. One is a complete possession where the jinnat actually takes over the body. At that point, a person is not responsible for anything he does. He probably won't even remember what he did. There's another type of possession which is also we're aware of, and that is that shaitan, he encourages or he beautifies or he whispers to us or he, you know what I'm saying, he pushes us to do something. As the Sahih hadith mentioned by Rasulullah, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي فِي الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَ الدَّمْ. That the shaitan, he runs in the blood of insan like the shaitan, he runs through the body of insan like blood. The way blood runs through us, the shaitan has the ability to do the same thing. So you can be possessed. Some people, have you ever seen people, they commit a mass murder and they come out smiling and you're just shocked at how a person can be so cruel. But Right, but it's because this person has almost become a shaitan on his own. That's why Allah Ta'ala speaks of a shayateenun min al-ins and jinn, that there's shayateen from insan also. Just like there's pious and evil jinns, you get pious and evil human beings as well. So these people are definitely aided at a certain level, possessed at a certain level by jinns.
Shay, we're gonna take a call in, inshallah. We got a call on the line. We wants to ask you a question to make the time, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That sounds strange.
Jay, assalamu alaikum.
Oh, was that? Okay, I'm sorry. That was you asking.
No,
okay.
No, you're fine, Shay.
Okay. Area
code 470, last 4 digits, 6282. Welcome to the Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hard Truth Smith.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing, Sheikh Asad?
Alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Two things. The first thing I want to say is there's a sister that I know who shared with me that a couple of years ago she was possessed by a jinn. And the way that she said that she knew she was possessed by a jinn was that she took a selfie picture of herself, and once she looked at the picture, she saw the reflection of the jinn in her sunglasses. Okay, so she shared the picture with me, and to this day I'll never forget what I seen. And then when I spoke later with another sister, we just briefly spoke about jinns, period. But this other sister said that jinns will not reveal themselves because she kept saying to me, "What makes you think what you saw was a jinn?" And I kept saying, "Because I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And what else could it have been?" So that's my first question. Can they? It was just crazy because although it was in the reflection of her sunglasses, the way it came out of the screen, it was crazy. It was like it was sitting in the corner looking at her. And it was like other ones. And it was very vivid. It was very, very vivid. And I had a couple other. It was very vivid. So I just wanted to know, for one, can they reveal themselves like that? You know, in my face what I think I saw was that.
Right. It's possible. You see, I can't speak on the specific case at hand because, I mean, obviously it would be hard to tell. It could have been anything. It could have been a reflection. It could have been a jinn. It's, you know, the balance goes both ways. But what we can say, I mean, the jinns, sometimes they, like I said, not all jinns reveal themselves. And revealing themselves to scare a person is obviously not allowed for them. So if it's an evil jinn, he wouldn't care what's allowed and what's not allowed. So he may. He may reveal himself. It's not completely out of the, or, you know, blue. And sometimes, you know, they are actually kind of on guard to protect themselves from any human being seeing them. But sometimes human beings come across them where they're sort of off guard, you know, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible. I mean, Allahu alam, I can't really say it for your specific case, but it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
People have seen jinns just like that, not necessarily that they can't be seen or we can't see them or no, it's very possible to see them.
Mhm. Okay, subhanAllah. Okay. And then, lastly,
is there a gateway like I was reading something, I can't remember what it was, but it was they said that there was a gateway in the desert.
Right.
There's a rock or something that is actually a doorway to the world of jinn. Like you said, there's a door, the brother opened the door in the jungle. Is there a gateway or something?
You see, these things, like having a sort of a gate towards the world, we know that there are areas where jinns reside. For example, the oceans. A lot of jinns in the ocean, believe it or not. There's a lot of jinns. Matter of fact, it comes in one riwayat that the throne of shaitan is in the middle of the ocean. So, I mean, there are places where jinns tend to be more, active. Places where filth is and humans do not go to, those areas are generally go into a dark alley at night and see how you feel if you don't feel a different presence around you. They're in places like that. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that whether there's a door or not, from a Sharia perspective, there's no yes and there's no no. It's going to be purely based off of that question is going to be purely based off of experience. So because we have some ulama, like, for example, I give you the story of Shah Ahlullah talking about the instance where he went into the, you know, other side, basically, so to speak. We would say that there are gateways. There are certain places where there's a certain gateway between our realm and theirs. You know, we live in a three-dimensional world, but there's other dimensions and there's other things which even scientists don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard a hadith that says that although the jinn can see us here in this lifetime, we will see them in Jannah, and but they won't be able to see us?
No, in Jannah, I mean, basically after death, everything becomes revealed. I mean, we'll be able to see angels, we'll be able to see heaven and hell and all of that. So there's no point, I suppose, in, at that point for even jinns to still be hidden from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was told that before, Sheikh, that the jinn would not be able to see us in Jannah. Allah knows best. And it was a long time ago.
Allah
knows
best. Keep in mind, Shaitan was a jinn, and he saw Adam and Hawa in Jannah. So there's still that. I mean, you'd have to refute that part too then. So, no, they can see us, and
so
we can see them.
Mm-hmm. So earlier when Muhammad said that, you know, the different reasons that the jinn attack a human. What about when we accidentally, like I read before, they do it out of anger because we may have accidentally killed one of their children, you know, and that's just mind-blowing to me because, I'm just going to close the toilet seat and I'm just going to squish your child or open up the door and smash your child in the corner. I mean, you know, is this, you know... I'm being serious. Is this really?
No, I understand.
Do these things really happen? Like I'm just gonna walk in accidentally and I'm just gonna smash his mother, or you know that really happens?
Well, I just want to make clear that I just want to make clear that even though these one two instances happen in the whole history of humanity where the jinns got mixed up with somebody killing a jinn. But like the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hadith, he said that any jinn that is not killed in his original body, yani he came in the body of a snake or in a scorpion or something like that, and a human killed him in that form, then a human is not going to be held responsible for that. Understood?
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, I mean, I haven't heard recently of anybody being taken by jinns because he killed a... But what some jinns will do is they will try to harm a person out of being vengeful, even though a whole court case won't happen against that person. But being vengeful, they will try to harm a person. They will do things. They will scare the person in his sleep. They'll, harass the person. They'll make him hear voices. They'll try to take over his body. You see people with these dual personalities, and they'll entice him to do different things. So the jinn has that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tools by which we can protect ourselves from that. As Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan," that verily my slaves and servants, shaitan does not have any power over them. Now who are my servants? Now the ulama explained several different things that we have to keep up if we want to be those people who are protected from any influence of shaitan. So number one is cleanliness, to keep clean. Physically and spiritually, that means. So physically clean, our surroundings should be clean. Then on top of that, we should read Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi and the Mu'awwidhat, yani قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ, the two last surahs of the Qur'an, these are very, very, very effective in protecting a person from jinn.
Mm-hmm.
Or even magic, for that matter. Magic and jinn. And there's other ayat and other surahs of the Qur'an. And as a matter of fact, the whole Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا فِيهِ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that the Quran itself, every ayat of it is a cure and a protection and a rahmah for the mu'mineen. So you have certain riwayat. I know there's a riwayah mentioned by Hakim, and it's also mentioned by other muhaddithin as well. It's a hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a Bedouin, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Ya Nabi Allah," he said that, "Oh, the Messenger of Allah, inna li akhan bihi waja," that I have a brother, and he's experiencing pain. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What is the pain that he's experiencing?" He said that he's got a sort of madness, lamam, and that basically refers to a jinn overtaking the person, that word. So Rasulullah said that, "Bring him to me." So the person that his brother was brought, and he was brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he read Surah Fatiha, and he read four ayat from the beginning of Surah Baqarah, and he read the last two ayat, and he read the ayat wa ilahukum ilahun wahid in Surah Baqarah 163, and he read Ayatul Kursi in the three ayat from the end of Surah Baqarah, and he read ayat of Surah Al Imran, shahidallahu annahu la, which is ayat 18. And he read the ayats of Surah A'raf, Inna Rabbakumullahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. And he read the last Surah of Mu'minun, Fata'ala Allah, ayah 116. He read Suratul Jinn, ayah number 3. He read 10 ayat from the beginning of Surah Safat. And he read 10 ayat from the end of Surah Hashr. And basically, the ulama nowadays have compiled all of these into one booklet. It's called the Manzil. I know Sheikh Zakaria Kandahlvi, rahimahullah, he compiled all of these ayat into one booklet, and you know, and this is and it's proven to be a very, very effective means of protection. For example, I mean, even though hadith, some muhaddithun, they have said that there's a rawi bijanab in the hadith that is weak, but the fact of the matter is that from the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that the Quran is a shifa, so we can still use the ayat. It doesn't, it doesn't remove any effect of the ayat. The ayat is still there. Matter of fact, in the hadith of Mu'atta Imam Malik, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who was told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that you do ruqya with the Quran. Use the ayat of the Quran when you're doing ruqya to protect or to take jinns out. Use the ayat of the Quran. They have effect and have barakah. So we use these ayat, and you can use the, like I said, for us, for simple, just read Ayatul Kursi. And the last two surahs of the Quran, these are ways which we can protect ourselves from the jinnat and shayateen, inshallah. So then, inshallah, now what you can do also is.
I was just going to say that
you can read these and you can just blow these on your children, since the children can't recite it. You can blow it on your children, or you can write it on a piece of paper and put it in their pocket just for barakah. So the barakah of the ayah will protect the children, inshallah.
Her call just dropped, Sheikh, so I'm going to let her call back. So what we'll do, we're going to take a quick break, inshallah, and we'll be right back, inshallah, and that's the hard truth.
Do you need to install a door, replace a broken window, or maybe add on to your home, build a shed in your backyard, or build the dream home you always wanted? Look no further. Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting will help make your dreams a reality. Good pricing, quality work, and honest Muslims. Smith & Associates will be your first and final stop, inshallah. Give them a call at 770-504-5993 or email smithapmc@gmail.com. If you own multiple units, ask about our maintenance program. Located in the Atlanta area and servicing surrounding cities, Smith & Associates Property Maintenance and Contracting, 770-504-5993. Got an idea? Give us a call.
Sheikh, you there?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Well, Islam, I want to say jazakallah khair for being patient, Sheikh,
No problem.
Really appreciate you, alhamdulillah. So we're going to bring Sister Z back on the phone for just her final question. And then I want to get into some of the signs. What do we look for? You know, after she asks her question, I would like to find out what are the signs that someone is possessed by a jinn? Do they get sleepy and eat candy during the show or something like that?
That's definitely a sign. That's multiple possessions.
Okay. are you there?
I sound like him. Okay, Sheikh. I have heard also that, I think I heard Omar Quinn say that if a male jinn may like a woman,
mm-hmm.
he may cause conflict in her marriage so as to separate her from her husband, or vice versa. If a woman may like, if a woman jinn likes the male, he may cause
mm-hmm.
problems in their marriage. Does this mean
right.
that, for example, the female jinn may make the wife constantly angry or constantly want to be arguing at her husband, or, you know, is, does something well, like this take place? And if so, does the wife
yeah.
maybe need to go get a rukia to stop being so angry?
Matter of fact,
you know, what happens?
Right. Matter of fact, sometimes the female jinn will can even possess the husband and make him say things to the wife that makes her hate him and, you know, causes them to separate. Whatever, they'll do anything then at that point to separate the couple. Either the man will possess the female just so that, you know, the her husband becomes sort of scared of her and just, you know, completely distant from her. Or sometimes the female will possess the husband, the female jinn possess the husband of the, you know, human sister. The husband will be possessed and then he'll become distant, he'll become different. She won't recognize him anymore. She won't even understand him anymore. He'll become like a whole different personality. And it'll actually be the jinn within him causing him to act out in that way. But at that point, it's hard. It's not easy. See, what a lot of people, they end up doing is they'll jump straight to, oh, it's a jinn. He's possessed. Without actually first looking at other causes, it could be just the fact that they're having problems in their marriage. We shouldn't jump. Jinn shouldn't be our first thing to go jump on. We should look at other problems in the marriage, see what the issues and what the causes are. And at the end, the only one who can determine if it's a jinn is someone that's a amil. A amil is somebody that deals with jinns. And you'll have to eventually, if you feel that you really strong feeling that there's some, you know, there's something other than something beyond natural, you know, causes that's causing this rift between us and this totally different atmosphere in the house, then it's I would prefer that you go to a good amil who deals with jinns and then let him take it from there.
What else could make a person angry daily or every other day, every other week? You know, when you talk to a sister or a brother, or what else could make them angry? Because we know that the jinn whispers to us. What else can have the person get angry so fast? Is that fiery?
Well, I mean,
no.
Right. Some people will say, for example, they're just hot-headed. They've had a stressful day. They have a stressful job. There's other problems in their life. And then just nafs, you know, there's also nafs. It's not always shaitan. Shaitan is one of our enemies. The other and real enemy is also our own desires. So that ego of a human being also sometimes is spills over. And so we have to, it's a constant battle, but, you know, we just have to, if, like I said, if we really feel that it's gone too far and there's no real solution, look, the nafs can be quelled. You talk to an alim, he starts becoming more pious. He sits with the scholars or he sits with even a psychiatrist, and that ego, it's just a matter of making him understand and controlling himself, his emotions. But if you see that it's beyond that now, and that nothing else is working, then it's probably preferred that you go see an amil and see if there is a jinn activity happening. And if not, then we resort back to trying to deal with he's got emotional problems then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might even be medical issues as well.
Nah. Yes, sir. And we're waiting on your waiting on your recitation CD. Salaam
alaikum. Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullah. Wow. You know, just trying to fill the Sheikh's heart with all kind of killers. Okay, Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, what signs do we look for jinn possession? Because I heard that a person can be possessed by a jinn and still make salat.
Oh, yeah. Being possessed by a jinn just doesn't mean that now the jinn, it becomes his body became the host for the jinn permanently. The jinn, it has a very strong effect on his body, basically. And it's what I'm saying. He'll be unstable emotionally, and the person won't be the same. It's hard to pinpoint one exact emotion that person will be displaying or one exact change in his general so to speak, lifestyle, because the jinn, it'll probably be based upon why the jinn is possessing him.
Normally, people that are usually family oriented,
no.
They want to be alone. A lot of times, they want to be by themselves. They want to deal with people. They'll go places
right.
They usually don't go. They'll start changing.
There's no specific behavior, but it's best, it's based on a person's understanding of the person that's being affected. If he feels that this is way beyond what this person would normally be like or what this person would normally do, then you start, obviously, like normally we'd go get treatment for the person. So if we see that treatment isn't working and there's something really wrong with the person, we should also go and visit the amil.
SubhanAllah.
Right? Amen. Yeah, it's important because there's going to be, sometimes it's a spiritual malady, you know, it's not always physical. Some people say he's going through depression. Why? You know, oh, it's this cause and that cause, but they fail to see that sometimes the cause of that is jinns.
And that's what people missing. That was my whole point, is the fact that, you know, even growing up in this country, you know, we never heard about this stuff. The only place in this country that has anything remotely like that is Louisiana. That's the only time you hear about that.
I'll give you an example of what happened one time. Even I saw this in my own eyes. In South Africa, when I was studying there, and we were in, we used to live on campus, and there was a person on campus. He was a sheikh. He was a scholar himself, but he was also the caretaker of our boarding, you know, where we lodged. So he was a caretaker, and he also was a very profound amil. He used to do this jinns and all of this thing. He was very good at it. Unfortunately, I never learned it from him, but he was good at what he did. So I remember one time these guys came from outside the school and they brought a guy on a stretcher, and the guy was literally frozen. He was stuck like a piece of wood. You couldn't move him. He was just like a log. You know, they just brought him in on a stretcher and they took him in. Now, normally if that happens to somebody around us, what do? We run him to the hospital, correct? Well, these guys brought him to the amil, our caretaker, basically. His name was Maulana Nuruddin. So he took him in his room, and I mean, within 20 minutes, the guy was coming out of there laughing and joking with the other guys. So it means, and I mean, it just took him like 10, 15 minutes to get the jinn out and to, you know, get the person healed and, you know, fixed. So, I mean, yeah, this is a big part of you know, healing, which I suppose the Western world is missing out on, and they're trying to approach it from a very scientific matter.
There's a brother in Columbus, Ohio. His name is Sheikh Abdulaziz Karani, and he does rukyah like all the time, but he doesn't allow someone to witness the rukyah.
Huh?
But you'll hear the people hollering and screaming and stuff. While he's reciting Quran on him. Well, one of the reasons why is because the jinn can leave that person and go right into somebody else. Is that true, Shaykh?
Allahu a'lam, that might be the case. I've never heard of that myself before. But generally they don't let everybody sit there. Somebody could get hurt. Sometimes the jinn could hurt somebody. It may even, possess somebody else just to get back at the amil. And I suppose he doesn't want that on his shoulders. It's the, every amil looks at what he sees is best for his clients, I suppose. And he doesn't want anybody to get affected or harmed in the process. So maybe, It is possible. I mean, if the jinn can possess the one that's being, you know, where the amil is taking place, then obviously the jinn could come out and just possess somebody else. And it's happened before, so... It's a valid concern, yes.
I was thinking about something Ali said about Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know. Have you ever been there, Sheikh?
I've traveled through Mississippi. Never went to Louisiana, no.
Okay, we went there a long time ago. They had an instrument there or something. And I was invited by some of the brothers, so we went.
Right.
And there's a bridge. There's a bridge that you got to cross. Ten?
Yeah, I've been on that bridge, I think. Over the swamp.
When you cross this bridge,
something else going on.
The whole atmosphere changes.
You feel funny.
You feel weird. And it was funny because I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying this.
And I was like, SubhanAllah, I experienced the same thing. I was like, man, this place is evil.
You know, when Allah saw fit to wipe that place out, I gave that reason. I don't know a lot. But what I wanted to say, too, is this. Like, I mean, it's good that we're bringing it up, but there has to be some type of initiative to carry this on and to inform people of this. Because everybody sees, oh, the books of Aqidah, the books, the Quran, and these different things. If you read the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated a whole surah to
right.
the jinn. And he talked
right,
about,
right.
if you look at the last ayah of the Quran, it speaks
right.
about the champion amongst the jinn and men. So these are things you have to
right.
be wary of. And one of the greatest
right.
things that you can pull, that the shaitan pulls on us is diverting our attention over here, and we listening to the Western people, oh, give him some medicine, put him in his home, he's sick, or people are wondering why they're having problems with their marriage, everything was good.
Or
and,
the psych ward,
you know,
yeah.
From me studying, you know, I think, I really send thanks to a person who really, really brought it to my attention, you know, may Allah make it easy
right.
for them and give them fat and give them, you know, genital for those, for even bringing it to my attention. But what happened is, it was like, once I started looking into it, I was like, wait a minute. If these are the symptoms, and this is what's going on, and nobody around, because you remember how long when you found me the guy in the hijama, I almost jumped through the roof. I was like, wow. Like, and nobody's doing it. Nobody's
right,
doing
right.
it. So it doesn't mean, oh, is America exempt from jinns?
Man, we got the biggest gyms in the world.
We got nothing free up in here.
All the mischief, we see here is there's definitely gyms have a hand in it. I mean, whether it's through whispering into the ears of the people, or whether it's through physical involvement. I mean, it's there. Yeah.
This place has the most serial killers, the most murders, the most robberies, the most theft. They're looter than anybody on the planet.
Rapists,
all these different things. And so when we look at it amongst the Muslims, if we're the vice regents of the planet, I feel like there's a lack of people either who know about Rukia, who can teach it, and I've been teaching to you, since you know you're connected to some people, that maybe you could try to look and put some feelers out and find some people that could teach this to people, because I would be the first one
right.
to sign up for this, because I really
right.
believe that it's a deficiency we have. You know, people have nowhere to go. I have friends in London, and, they work at Rukia places, or they know Rukia places. People are
right.
doing this, like, go to the grocery market.
You know, Imam Hadid was just telling us that they had hospitals in Saudi Arabia just for this. He said they shut them down. That's scary.
Why?
Right.
He said they're underground now. And, you know, he used to work over there. Say, okay.
It's a strange world. I mean, one thing is, I know there's certain people that have actually made this the mission of their life. Like, I remember, I think I sent you the link or not. There's a Ibn Halima, or something like that. His name is Ibn Halima. This Sheikh Ibn Halima. He goes around and he teaches ruqya and how to extract jinns and things like that. He's very very proficient in that.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Ibn Halima. You can find him on the internet. I met him myself. He came to South Africa and he did several courses for a lot of people. And he was good at what he does. He uses only ayat of the Quran.
But he's based in
Detroit or something.
So is it based on the iman of the person? I think it was one of you, I think it was Sheikh Ismail, was telling us a story about Imam Ahmed, where this man was possessed, and Imam Ahmed said, take my shoe over there. And the jinn told the jinn, he said, this is Imam Ahmed's shoe, he should get out of here. And the jinn left.
Yeah.
But then the other brother tried it. He said, take my shoe.
Right.
He was like, whose shoe is that? I don't care about, you know. So, Shay, I got another question.
Well, hold on. You see, the thing is, in I mentioned the ayat in the Quran, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, that my servants, Allah Ta'ala says, my servants, yani the ones who are close to me, shaitan has no power over them. So what does that mean? They can have power over the shaitan. Meaning shaitan cannot bother them, but the shaitan actually fears them. What did Rasulullah ﷺ say about Umar? That Umar, when he comes on a street, the shayateen run from that street.
Across the street, no.
Right? Yeah, they run away from the street, right? So this is some of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have that level of iman and that level of ru'b and aura, or what do you want to call it, of respect and fear and honor around them, that even a evil person, it even applies amongst human beings. For example, you get the worst sinner in the world, but when you bring a good person around them, then they start changing a little bit. They feel bad.
No.
Doing that same, or for example, just tell the police to come in front of him and see if he acts the same way, you know. Even the police doesn't do anything to him, he'll still be scared, you know. So, I mean, it's definitely a reality.
We got another call on the line, inshallah. Area code 404, last four digits 2913. Welcome to the Hard Truth with your host, Muhammad Hartree Smith. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Muhammad. And this is Rashida, Sheikh, the host that's giving the information tonight. I have a question for you. I have a healthcare background, and there are a lot of Muslims who are on the psychotropic drugs, and because of my healthcare background, I've always said that there are some people who need medication. So I'd like for you to respond to that. I know, you know, the Islam and belief in Allah, and that's the real protection. But we're talking about the majority of the world and the society. Where do the medication, psychotropic drugs, what part do they play in this whole thing with jinn possession, inshallah?
They play, it's not contrary to ruqya. These drugs, they play their role, and that is that with regards to the chemicals in the body, and they help balance things out on a chemical level. But the ruqya and that deals on a spiritual level, and it deals more on the causes of some of these. For example, why does the person have the imbalance? Why is the person in the state he is? The drugs can only help with the fixing the actual problem, but not fixing the cause of the problem. That may be one.
Right.
Number two, these people that are on these psychotropic, I don't know if I'm saying the word right, drugs, they probably don't have a jinn problem. And matter of fact, I know out of 100 cases, one case will be a jinn case, and the other will all just be, psychiatric people, people who just need psychiatric help. You know what I'm saying? And one may actually be a serious case. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the cases you may have been dealing with were legitimate psychiatric cases and caused by, you know, things that happened during their life or something traumatic that happened in their life or for whatever reason, genetics or whatever. And then you will find the one odd case where the cause is it's more spiritual and it's something deeper. And for that, you have to take the person to the amil.
So you just answered a question that I was always thinking that the word mental illness was a jinn possession, all of it, but it's not.
No, it's not always, no. I remember a lot of one person, he brought his son to my, to one of my teachers. And my teacher, he asked the person said that my son is speaking in languages and he becomes extremely violent at times and this happens and that happens. So then my teacher, he told one of the brothers there in the masjid that, why don't you go with this brother to his house and find out what his son is taking in terms of his medications. So the brother went with the guy to the house just to see what medications his son was on. And his son was taking over, like, there was like 30, 40 bottles of pills sitting in his room. So the guy started going through each bottle and reading and searching them up and what are the side effects. And the side effects were almost to the dot what the kid was acting out. You know, so this drug will cause this as a side effect, that drug will cause that as a side effect. So then my teacher told the person that what your son is experiencing, I don't feel there's any jinn involvement in this. It's simply the side effects of the medications he's taking. He needs to cut down the medications. So the person cut down the medication, and his son was fine after that. So there's a lot of instances where it is just a psychiatric issue, something totally chemical and something totally psychotic. But on the other side, you have cases where it's very much jinn involved, and there's jinn that are involved. So, I mean, I hope that sort of makes you helps understand the...
Alhamdulillah, and the word jinn, majnoon, the root word is jinn, is that correct?
Yeah, whenever in Arabic you connect jim and noon together, when you connect them in Arabic, it always implies something hidden. So like jinn is hidden, jannah, hidden, janin is basically the child in the womb, which you can't see, hidden. So it is usually refers to things that are hidden. And majnoon is
a person who... Say that again now. You said the meme and the jinn, now you get some camera.
When a jinn and a noon connect together in the Arabic language, then all those words generally have an implication of something hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? Like Jannah is hidden from the eyes. Jahannam is hidden from the eyes. Jinnat, they're hidden from our view. Janin, which is the baby in the stomach or the womb of the mother, is called the Janin. Also, it's hidden from our view. And like that, even in Jinnat, what we're talking about now, they're hidden from the view. So generally that mad, what they call the madda, that origin of jim and noon has this, one of its qualities, one of its specialities is hiddenness, I suppose you could say. And a majnoon is as opposed to a person who's seeing things that nobody else can see. Right?
Okay.
We want to remind the people that The Hard Truth comes on every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, inshallah. And we try to discuss topics that are relevant to our life that we're living now, whether it be Islamic, whether it be political, whether it be social, whatever is out there. And, you know, come to our Facebook page and try to suggest topics if it's something that you want to speak about, inshallah. We only got a few more minutes, so if anybody has any more questions to ask the Sheikh, the number is 347-324-3601. You have to press the number 1 on your keypad so that you can ask the Sheikh the question, inshallah. Okay, Sheikh, you know me. I always have questions. I don't know why, but I've always got questions in my head to ask you guys. You know, so I ask a whole bunch of
them. Alhamdulillah.
I was watching a video on YouTube, and it said that once a person has been possessed with a jinn, that
mm-hmm.
is a gateway. That is a gateway that... The what do you call the guy? Alam, what do you call him? The guy who's a Sufia?
Amil.
Say it again.
Amil. A-M-I-L, I suppose you could say in English. Yeah.
Is that that's an Ayn? Meme? No?
Yeah, Ayn, Meme. Ayn, Meme, Lam. Ayn, Alif. Ayn, Alif. A, and then Meme, Lam.
Okay.
Yeah, like Fa'il, Amil.
Right in your stomach. It helped me a lot. So I lost my train of thought, Brother Ali.
You were saying that.
I hope I have one, inshallah. Well, everybody got one. Okay. Yeah. So my question is, what was my question? What was I asking the Sheikh?
How do I get rid of the jinn that are in?
So what was the question I was asking you?
You were saying that it become a gateway once a person is possessed.
Okay. Yes. So what this guy would do on YouTube.
You're talking about
genius, mm-hmm. man. He was... Okay, but I'm asking Sheikh a question. Sheikh, I think we need to recite the Quran right now. I swear. We need to recite the Quran. Some Baka, some Isaac, put us to yourself. Help me recite. Look at this guy. Look at the camera. Look at the camera. Look at the camera. Okay, but...
The lighting is okay. Yeah.
The question is it possible... Because the way the brother was saying on YouTube, he said that he can summon the jinn back into a person to use that person as a gateway. And it's his sister who had a jinn in her, and he would use her to summon a jinn.
And she had a niqab on, right?
She had a niqab on, yeah.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You seen that?
I know what you're talking about, but...
How does that work? He possesses the Another person. Oh, well, I didn't understand that.
It's some extra stuff. Go ahead. Tell me. If you follow the center, there's nowhere I've ever seen anybody I've talked to that does that. You don't get a gin out of somebody and say, hold up, I got somebody else. Come over here. We're going to put the gin in you and all kind of other stuff. They call
I'm not saying it's correct.
I'm just saying, people do it.
But what I'm saying is that possible?
Apparently it is.
Yeah, it's possible.
But, you know, you can get into the gin catching if you want.
Why would I want to
catch the gin? It all depends on the knowledge of the amil himself. I know some amils, they can capture the jinn in a bottle, and what they'll do is they'll imprison him in the bottle or whatever. And now, this is obviously, I just heard it, but they keep the jinn in the bottle, and they put the bottle in the ocean, and for however long that bottle's in the ocean, that jinn is trapped inside.
Shake aside. We're taking me back to...
Would you watch Audrey Magini?
No, not Audrey Magini. You're taking me back to the cartoon.
I suppose that's what
now. Now, if I find the bottle and I rub it 3 times, can I get what I want?
Well, sometimes if you just open it. But I've heard even some amils, what they'll do is they'll recite certain verses, and through those verses they burn the jinn. So that's also, I mean, there's different amils. It just depends on his level and under who you studied it, and you know, there's different schools of this stuff. This is a sort of secret knowledge. You know, it's taught from person to person. It's not written in the books.
We don't need to get the gin here. We need to get people that do this here. We need to bring an awareness to it. Because people don't know.
Definitely awareness is good.
Yo, Sheikh Assad, let me tell you.
You said yo-yo to the Sheikh.
I'm sorry. I'm
that's fine. I'm not a Sheikh anyway. I'm just a student anyway, so it's cool.
I'm a tad uncouth, and I believe the Sheikh will forgive me. Sheikh, if I offended you, forgive me. What I'm saying is a lot of people aren't informed about this. We have to do something to inform the people. Like, before Sheikh Assad, alhamdulillah, barakallahu fikum, came to the masjid that day, I had called 14 imams. Like, 6 or 7 of them were like, what's rukia?
They said, what's rukia? Get out of here.
What you think I'm serious? Tell you a lie? They was like, I don't know.
You should have been like, and you are the imam, but what, man?
No, I didn't want to be like that. But in my mind, I was like, this is a bigger problem than I thought. And then finally, you will find the guy. I found like 2 guys, and 1 guy was like, I'm having emotional problems. I can't do it.
He needed a rupiah.
Yeah, he needed a rupiah himself. Only one that came through is the person we have on the phone now. He came through for hijama, and it was alhamdulillah, and I think people should get it. We're forgetting sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these 2 things are things that he said may keep us healthy.
All right, let me tell you something. You talking about the sunnah of hijama and rukyah and all that?
Yeah.
We can't even, okay, people come in and out of town, and there's no hospitality given.
Listen,
we can't even do hospitality to the Muslims, let alone hijama. You know, and that just shows us the disease.
It's anybody reviving any sunnah. It's definitely very, very, very rewarding. As Rasulullah SAW mentioned, that a person who revives his sunnah gets the reward of like a martyr, a shaheed. So I think, you know, Muhammad Ali got the idea of reviving the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, go for it. If it's something, and I think everybody should. This is something that these kind of sunnah people don't, their mind doesn't even go to anymore. You know, everybody likes the sunnahs of, like, for example, miswak and, you know, let's get married and all that kind of, those are what we call sweet sunnahs.
But the
hard sunnahs, nobody, you love the socks, everybody want to buy some. But when it comes down to the hard sunnahs, then, you know, people kind of, they've sort of left them behind. And subhanAllah, we see the results of that in today's world.
You're right.
You know, subhanAllah, that's pretty amazing, man. We got a lot of work to do, you know.
Definitely.
The first work starts on yourself. That's the first work. You know,
very true.
Tell us, how you going to beat somebody else you can't beat yourself? You know,
and
a lot
Sometimes, even like, for example, I did hijama or Brother Ali did hijama. The best way we can spread it is by telling others about it. Sometimes we think that we need to start a big movement, and that never sort of formulates, and then we give up altogether. Rather, I think start on an individual basis and, you know, get more and more people involved and into things like this. And these things spread on their own, you know? Like I said, this Ibn Halima is really moving forward with this. Okay, alhamdulillah.
But shoot, my wife, I can't let my wife do a jumbo. She might remember something I said one time I did. That's
take Muhammad for his jumbo.
That'll be love. So, Sheikh,
yes.
Now, protecting oneself.
Uh-huh.
Is it recommended that, you know how people go to the doctor and get checkups? Is it recommended that we get some type of rukia checkup? You know, some type of, like, we might not know something's wrong. You know, can we do that? It's one thing to recite
right.
the Quran, but you have to have the iman behind what you're reciting. You know, there's non-Muslims.
For this, I suppose that the best answer is that unless you don't see symptoms, there's nothing to inshallah fear, and we do the wadaif that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us to read, which were read the ma'awidat, read the ayatul kursi, read surah Fatiha. These are all ayat which are used in the ruqyas. Ruqyas is nothing other than that. If we read these every night, inshallah, we'll be protected. There's nothing to worry about. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Bukhari that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yanfuthu ala nafsihi fil marad alladhi mata fi. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would read these ma'awwidhat, the qul a'udhu birabbi falaq, qul a'udhu birabbi nas, Fatiha, and these surahs and these ayat. Then he would blow it into his hands, and then he would rub it all over his body. This is mentioned in Bukhari. So if we do at least these things, inshallah, there's nothing to worry about. Shaitan cannot harm a person who is spiritually protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, but what about the layman, Sheikh? What about the people who, you know, I know one thing that really rubs my co-host horrible is, you know, you got people who just don't learn. They don't try to learn the religion. They don't try to you got people who recite Qulhu Huwallahu Ahad for 13, 14, 15 years, and that's all they know.
They're going to have to be ready to deal with the consequences of something like that. Or the other option is, for example, it's an elderly person. He just doesn't have the capacity to learn now. Sometimes a person, you know, old gentlemen, when they become Muslims, even the fuqaha mentioned that there's in certain cases they can't even read their salah in their own language because it's now they're at a certain age but they can't retain anything. So for them or for your very young children, for example, it's mentioned that some sahaba, they would actually write the dua, and this is actually mentioned in a riwayah. The one sahabi, he said that he would write these ayat of the Quran on a paper or and fold it up and keep it on the children, either in their pocket or tie it in a small, like a little pouch or something, and keep it with the child until they can recite it. So same thing for an old person who cannot remember.
You made a point. There was effort being given.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you say, because, you know, when I first started learning the last Jews, that's exactly how
right.
I did it. Mm-hmm. I would write it, and I would go to work. Mm-hmm. I had a little piece of paper. Every little chance I got, I do it, put it back in my pocket, and do it until I memorize it.
Right.
And I had to go.
I got a matter of fact, Sheikh, I got to sit with you too, man, because I need to revise. I learned some surahs when I first became Muslim. And
right.
Now,
inshallah.
Now when for real, that's how you going to do it. There was a story, right? This brother's. Was telling us, Imam Bukhari, that I had mercy on him because he passed. I mean, and he said that the brother got up to lead the salah, and he was leading the salah. The sheikh was in the line behind him, and the sheikh was crying. He was cried profusely. He was, you know, really crying.
He was feeling
So the brother said to Salahius, he said, Sheikh, does my recitation make you cry? He said, you were butchering the Quran. Take it no more.
Especially these things, every person should know, like Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, the last two surahs, the last three ayahs of Surah Hashr, and you know, a few ayahs. These certain ayat are very, very important. Every person should know them, and we should make it a daily dhikr to read these. Matter of fact, remember those ayat I mentioned? I just want to end off on this one story of Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah. It's mentioned in and I think it's in Tariq Dimashq. Ibn Sirin mentions that these ayat, remember the whole list of ayat that I mentioned, is what we call the manzil. He says that one time he was traveling, and he says that I approached, there was a crossroad, and there was, highway robbers on the crossroads. So now I thought to myself that these ayat protect from shayateen, and these are the shayateen of minal ins, from the human beings, these are shayateen. So he said, I read those ayat, and then I laid down and I went to sleep. He said, I would look up and I would see that the highway robbers would come close to me dragging their swords, and then they would stop and then they would walk back. They would come dragging their swords, then they would stop and walk back. Then in the morning, the leader from amongst them, he came to me and he said, are you a human being or are you a jinn? So Ibn Sirin told him that, no, I'm a human being. So he said, why do you ask? So then the highway robber told him that last night we tried to rob you over 70 times. But every time we came close to you, a iron wall would become a barrier between us and you.
SubhanAllah.
So Ibn Sirin, that's just to show that these ayat and the effect and the power of the ayat of the Quran, if they're said and one makes it a point to say them and uses them for protection, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect that person.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I want to thank you for your time. We definitely got to have you on more, inshallah. And,
inshallah. Jazakallah khair for having me, and I appreciate, giving me the opportunity to spend some time with you guys.
Alhamdulillah. Hold the line, Sheikh, for a moment, inshallah. We want to remind the people that the Hard Truth comes on every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, inshallah. We will soon, inshallah, be doing more advertisements. So if you have anything you want to sell or want us to promote on our show, inshallah, let us know, inshallah. We will do it for you for a small fee, inshallah, because we got to pay for equipment. We got to pay for internet and everything. So this does cost money. So, we need the support of the people, inshallah, for us to keep this going, inshallah. So like we always say, if we said anything tonight that was wrong, misleading, that was incorrect, we ask that you forgive us and make dua for us, inshallah. And if we said anything that was correct, that was inspiring, and make you get close to Allah Azza wa Jal, then verily all the praise due to Allah. He is in control of all things. With that being said, we are out of here. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. And we are out of here, and that's the hard truth. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My daddy has to come home now, and that's the hard truth. Assalamu alaikum.